It's my pleasure now to introduce our second speaker, Dr. Andre Vaccari. Dr. Vaccari is an immunizations advisor with the Immunizations Unit of the Pan American Health Organization. He joined PAHO in 2004 to work on regional measles elimination initiative. He has since expanded his portfolio to a number of vaccines. He's held country-based positions in Colombia and now in Costa Rica. His duties include responsibility for human papillomavirus, dengue, and cholera vaccines, as well as other new vaccines that are either in development or in need of rollout. Dr. Vaccari.
Thank you very much, Jordan. Good morning, everyone. What I'd like to do is today is to start a little bit by describing the available vaccine that we have out there, saying a little bit about programmatic constraints that we have in terms of deploying the OCV vaccine in Haiti, some epidemiologic consideration before coming to some option for this vaccine deployment in Haiti and some conclusion. When we look at the available vaccine on the global market, there are really two at this moment. One is called the Dukoral on your left side. This was a vaccine that was licensed in 1991 in Sweden, and is licensed in several countries throughout the world, and is primarily intended as a travelless vaccine. On the right side, you have the Shankol vaccine that is licensed since 2009 in India, and is really intended for global market. As you can see from this graphic, they are both formalin and EAT inactivated whole cell vaccines that require two or three doses in the primary immunization series. But as well, there are two vaccines that essentially have the same progeny. That was a vaccine developed in the 1980s in Bangladesh that then underwent different further development paths throughout the years. From these are again a picture of these two vaccines, the Dukoral and the Shankol, and you can kind of guess a little bit one of the issues that one of these two vaccines has. The Dukoral, because it has this subunit, toxin subunit, it needs to be protected from the gastric acid, so it needs to be delivered with a buffer. In contrast, the Shankol vaccine doesn't need to have that buffer. So, and this in this table, you can see the different characteristics of these two vaccines that are said they are somehow related as well. An important question was that these two vaccines, the WHO qualification. As you can see, WHO qualification means that the vaccine has undergone independent review in terms of clinical data, but as well in terms of the manufacturing process by WHO. And it is a required, it's a requirement for being purchased or being handled to the United Nations agency organization. So you see that in October of 2010, there was really only one of the two vaccines that was pre-qualified, that was the Dukoral vaccine. The pre-qualification for the Shankol vaccine only came in September 2011, some almost 1 year after cholera broke out in Haiti. Otherwise, for the characteristics of the two vaccines, I already mentioned a little bit what the question of the buffer, the need of the buffer in terms of administration, which as well imply a lot in terms of what is the packaging or the volume of this vaccine as required. Finally, you see as well the price for each vaccine. We can estimate more or less that we need for the Shankol vaccine roughly $8 per vaccinated person, including the administration and all the costs involved into the administration of the vaccine. These are the efficacy data of the Shankol vaccine. There are data that are being published. It's a very interesting article that just came out a couple of weeks ago. And it's the first vaccines where there is data of a follow-up up to 5 years of this vaccine in terms of efficacy data. It's a cluster randomized trial in Calcutta, India, with roughly 65,000 people. Something like 400 dwellings or 400 clusters involved. And obviously it is a clinical trial in an endemic setting. It's not an epidemic setting, it's really an endemic setting. And as you can see that it is The efficacy of this vaccine overall is about 65% over the different over the 5 years, and you can see as well that the impact of the vaccine is different depending on the age group, because obviously in the endemic setting the cholera is more frequent in children than in adults as well. It is an interesting article because I think as well in the discussion they point out whether we can really infer that this efficacy can be the same in epidemic situation. And there is all a discussion whether it is really more a booster vaccine, if you want, based on a natural exposition, or whether we can expect the same type of efficacy in an epidemic setting. Let me switch a little bit gear in terms of a little bit of the timeline in terms of different OCV consultation. If you go back, really, the discussion whether or not to use a vaccine in cholera, it has really a long story, and it is not really something that has been of the last 2 or 3 years. Obviously, the outbreak in Haiti, but as well in other parts of Africa, in some countries in Africa, as well as brought up again the issue of whether, you know, to use this vaccine. But in terms of when cholera broke out in Haiti, what really was, there was a recent review by the strategic advisory group of experts in immunization by WHO that had discussed the topic, and there was a position paper by WHO published in March of 2010. And then you have different type of consultation by different organizations, not only by PAHO and WHO, but as well by others. And today, I think one important was in December 2010, which had essentially 2 points. One, recommendation to develop a global stockpile for OCV, another one as well to carry out a demonstration study in IT with the vaccines that was available at that time. And then most of my talk is going to be about the October 2012 recommendations that are still valid today, if you want. So in 2010, these are the recommendations by WHO in terms of the position paper on the OCVs. As I said, in this recommendation, there is a clear recommendation to use a vaccine in endemic situation, especially in children, pregnant women, and as well immunocompromised people. But if you go in a little bit into detail about the recommendation specific to areas with or the increased risk of outbreaks, you can see that the recommendation is kind of should consider in terms of preventive vaccination, where there is not, we estimate that there is the risk that cholera will break out, but there is not yet risk, there is not yet cholera. And as well, it is a little bit more parsed in terms of could consider reactive vaccination as well. So there is, if you want, there is this continuum from endemic to epidemic, no, where the recommendation become less and less strong, as it was at that time. All along, a very important consideration has always been as well the availability of the vaccine. And here there is a little bit of a circular argument, you know, there is no demand, there is no production, there is not really potential use of the vaccine. And this is something that probably the global stockpile is really intended to shift a little bit in terms of that equilibrium, in terms of creating a stockpile, if you want, where we can really deploy the vaccine. And hopefully this will generate more production over time and possibly as well more use. But you as well can see that there are really been very limited amount of vaccine. In October 2010, there was really only something like 250,000-300,000 doses of Leucoral. And of course, there could have been more vaccine if there was a fixed order over time, but it would have taken several months, if not years, to be produced. And you can see from 2014 and beyond, potentially we could have as much as 18 million to 20 million doses, but there needs to be really a commitment to buy the vaccine. Otherwise, the producer are not going to produce the vaccine. So one of the possible implications was, you know, why not to vaccinate everyone? in the Espanol. And when you go into that, you can, it's kind of important to keep in mind that there are almost 20 million people living in Espanola, roughly divided 10 million in each side. You can see that even if we want to just target some specific age group, you know, we are talking about millions of people. And of course, as well, in terms of this distribution between rural and urban, and even metropolitan, we are really talking about big number of people, if you want. And we have seen that the availability of the vaccine is limited. So what about, you know, targeting just vulnerable population? And, you know, it has really been said about what the situation in terms of access to drinking water and sanitation is, in both in Haiti and less, of course, in the Dominican Republic. But you can see that if we were just to target based on vulnerability of this, you know, we are still talking about a lot of people, you know, in terms as well of what needs to be done. So another option could be to use to target the vaccine based on epidemiologic data, of course. And this is the cumulative attack rates for the first 2 years of the outbreak. And you can see the darker shades were essentially higher reported attack rates, higher attack rates has been reported. So I always like to ask, you know, where will you vaccinate based on this data? And most people always go, tend to go for where there is higher attack rates, of course, no? Because they kind of equate that to high exposure. The problem is that there are two problems, really. One is what really attack rates mean, no? And of course, there can be higher attack rate, could be essentially higher exposure that we can expect to have endured during the time and still essentially be the same, but it could be as well a more reliable case reporting in terms of the surveillance or as well in terms of patient inflow from other administrative sections. So it is really kind of difficult, you know, to explain from that. But another issue is essentially that when cholera has gone through an area, you know, it will leave out, it will leave behind essentially an immune population. You know, you have already seen that we can estimate that almost 60 or even more percent of a specific area of people have gone through an infection of cholera. So if we were to target area with higher target, we are essentially vaccinating people that are already immune. And we can see as well that this immunity is probably, there is essentially very limited empirical data on the immunity of people that have gone through a cholera infection. But there are some very nice modeling, and you can see that with a previous Eltoin infection, we can expect that immunity will last something for 4 years, and then we start decline, and most of the people will have lost this immunity over a period of 10, 12 years. So we need to be careful about thinking, you know, that cholera is at lower incidence right now, because probably just as well a little bit what we can see that during the first year of an arguably very explosive outbreak, you know, most of the people may have been infected. And so what we see in the next year and the following year is probably just because as well there is a high immunity now in the population that if there is not really reinfection over time, you know, can be exposed again later in the time. So if you want, how can we, given all that, you know, the number of people, the extent of the vulnerability, what we know from the epidemiologic situation, what can we, some key considerations. First of all, there is not yet indication of increased risk among children age less than 5. You know, we would expect over time, if when cholera is endemic, that children, because essentially they are born, because they are the only cause that are coming into the population each year and being fully susceptible, if you want, to see an increase in risk for young children. We have this question that we have a question on meaning of low and high attack rates and widespread distribution of risk determinants. Definitely so. It is kind of difficult really to focus a limited amount of vaccine on this population. we will probably need to have a lot more of analysis in terms of defining specific risk, whether, you know, for exposure, but as well in terms of access to healthcare. Something I not shown the data, but definitely the IDB population in IT had gone from roughly 1.5 million after the earthquake in 2010 to roughly 300,000 people, I guess. But if you see the sanitation that is available to this population has remained almost the same, but access to potable water went from 80% to something less than 20%. So we can say that now, if they were not before, IDB population is probably at high risk now because of access to potable water. So all that considered, some option for civil deployment in Haiti, we can kind of define two dimension, if you want. One is the geographical setting and the other one the possible vaccination activity. In terms of geographical setting, we can think about routine introduction of the vaccine in children aged 1 year, because we would expect over time that this really be a population that is highly susceptible to the to cholera, and so it's worth vaccinating. We could as well have, in terms of the metropolitan area, we can have population in densely populated and vulnerable areas. This will be IDB camps, but as well shanty towns. And finally, in the rural population, we can really think about targeting people in areas with difficult access to healthcare, because so it is really idea of the vaccine complementing other activities that we have. What is, I think it's important that these are not mutually exclusive or necessarily sequential options, that they are all possible options to take into consideration, but probably it needs to be phased because, of course, the vaccine is limited in amount. And here you can see essentially an estimation of what these different options will require in terms of amount of vaccine over a period of 3 years. And again, the data on what will be the vaccine that is necessary. So only going to this option, if you want, will really deplete the global availability of the vaccine when the vaccine is as well needed in other parts of the world. So it is important as well, nevertheless, to say that this different option has found as well, they are as well stated in the National Plan for Elimination of Cholera in Haiti. This plan is 2013 to 2022, are three different periods, a short term, medium term, and long term. And vaccination is included for both the short term and the medium term. And in August of 2013, in addition to the demonstration studies that were done in 2012, vaccinations are started in two sites in Haiti for roughly 80,000 people being vaccinated. And the idea is during the first part of this program, of this plan, to vaccinate up to 600,000 people. Obviously with a very important evaluation component, and then to be able then to define, you know, what could be the next step in terms of vaccination later on. So in terms of conclusions, I've shown that there are two oral cholera vaccines available on the global market. Both require 2 and 3 doses in primary immunization series. You know, many experts believe that for a vaccine to be used in outbreak, we should really be 1-dose vaccine. It would be much better. We have this WHO SAGE recommendation that recommend in particular the use in endemic situation. And within the 18 Asian plan to eliminate cholera transmission, there is as well vaccination included in the short and medium term at least. And because of the limited or severe ability, unfortunately, we still need to think about a phased introduction of deployment based on these different options that I laid out. Thank you very much.